From the land of the Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 12th day of December 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. T-Storm Weather's Mike Tenora will be here to look at the forecast for not only the Midwest, but for the growing regions around the planet. And we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Bennett at TGM, that's Total Grain Marketing, out of Windsor, Illinois, during this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Well, let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Thursday afternoon. December wheat futures at $6.22.5, a settlement price down 7.75. The March down 7 at 6.33.75, and July contract for the soft red at 6.42.25, 4.25 lower. The hard red July at $6.79.75, down 3.75 cents. December corn futures finished at 4.28.25, a settlement price down 3. The March at 4.34.25, 5 cents lower. And May corn at $4.42.5, down 5.25. July $4.49.25, down 5.25. And December futures at $4.61.5, down 5.75. The March of next year at $4.72.5, down 5.75. January beans at $13.23.75, down 20.25 cents. March futures at $13.11.5, down 17. May soybeans, $12.95, down 14.25. July at $12.83.25, 13.5 cents lower. November beans at $11.58.25, down 9. December bean meal at $4.59.40, $5.20 lower. Bean oil at $39.80, finished 40 cents lower. Live cattle futures, December contract, $132.25, up 35 cents per 100 pounds. February futures at $133.10 in the live cattle, up 30 cents. January feeder cattle, $1.40 higher at $167.75. And the March at $166.55, up $1.05. Lean hogs December contract, $81.32.5, up 40. And the February futures there at $88 even, finished 22.5 cents higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio from the farming world, and you are part of our service. More on how you can help us out as we make our way through this edition of the Closing Market Report. You can do that, of course, by dialing this number. We're in the middle of a pledge drive for the month of December here at our home station, WILL. And really, we'd like to have you help us out with a service. If you support agricultural programming, if you listen, you tune in, you make a, and this makes a difference to you, dial in right now at 217-244-9455, or you can just go to willag.org if you happen to listen online. And up at the top of the page, you'll find a way to pledge now. We'd like you to pledge at about the $120 level, but, you know, we'd like to raise roughly $1,000 an hour over a 36-hour period, 3 days, 12 hours a day, because we're a daytime station. And so we're looking for $1,000 in this hour. How about in this half hour? We raise $1,000. You can help us. You can do that right now at 217-244-9455 when you call in with your pledge of financial support. Visa, MasterCard, Discover, just call and make the pledge. You can write us a check and send it to us later. It's really simple and it's easy to do. However you do it, whether you do it online at willag.org and pledge now, or whether you call in at 217-244-9455, do me this favor. Make sure you tell them that you're pledging in support of agricultural programming. That's really important. It will count up for us, Dave Dickey and myself, and we sure would like to see those pledges come in. Do it right now. We hope the service makes a big difference to you. By the way, happy holidays as we head into the winter months and into Merry Christmas time and the holiday season. Make our holiday a little better here. We hope the service helps you out, and you've made maybe a few dollars because you've listened to us. Again, that address you can go to at 217-244-9455 on the phone, or just at willag.org, willag.org, and pledge your financial support to WILL Agricultural Programming.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Be sure to pledge your financial support to the programming here. Whether you listen to us online on one of our affiliate stations, that might be out of Watsika or Clinton in Kewaunee, Taylorville, wherever you happen to listen, up in Rochelle, whether you're just listening in your home after the fact in the evening, we do appreciate all that you do for us, and we hope that what we do for you is really appreciated on your end. $120 level is kind of where Dave and I like to think about having you pledge your support for agricultural programming when you call in at 217-244-9455 or just at willag.org and hit pledge now. Make sure you tell them that you're pledging in support of agriculture. On this Thursday afternoon, let's check now in on what happened in the futures markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises. They're headquartered there for his office in Mandeville, Louisiana, but I believe he is in Dallas, Texas at this point. Hi, Dan. How are you today?
Doing fine, Todd. And before I answer any questions, I want to also ask everyone to go to the website or call in and give that $120 donation to WILL Ag Programming. As you know, I've been part of this program for, I don't know, maybe going on 25 years or so. And it's an excellent source of information for farmers. And I know that the internet audience is growing because every farm show I go to, as soon as they hear me speak, they'll come up and say, well, you must be Dan Zwicker because I hear you on the radio. So I would give a shout out to everyone that's listening to us on the internet and on the radio to help the ag programming of WILL with the donation.
Hey, thank you so much, Dan. It makes a difference here, Dan, on our end. I know that, you know, there are so few ag folks around anymore that we sort of have to yell every now and then to be heard. And this is one of those times. So I hope everybody either calls in or they do it online. But however you do it, 217-244-9455, I'll give you that number one more time, or willag.org and just hit pledge now. It makes a difference to us. I think this program's important. I hope you think it's too, is too. And Dan, thank you for all you do. And for those who listen on Thursdays and want to hear Dan, he did tell you he'd been here about 25 years. That's true. Dan's been with us since the very beginning. And here's the thing is that he and all the rest of our analysts volunteer their time, and we do appreciate that greatly, too. We hope you do as well. Dan, it was kind of an ugly day in Chicago, especially for the soybeans, and there's some confusion about why they broke today. Do you have any inside information that you might be able to share about that?
Well, I think it was just one of these perfect storms that kind of hit the market today. There was just a barrage of a little bit of bearish news just about from all corners. We did have a very positive weekly export sales number on beans here today, I think 1.2 million tons. We really are creeping up very closely to what USDA expects us to sell for the year. But the problem is that the trade feels that if South America does go ahead and grow a big crop, that we will get some sales cancellations along the line. But I think for the most part, it was a market that tried to go higher earlier in the week. It failed. Technically, they're really clear the 62% retracement level of the summer fall decline on that January contract, which was right around the 1345, 1346 area. I think you saw a lot of technicians just give up looking at the calendar going into the week before Christmas here next week, and I think decided to start taking some profits. We also have a very big long soybean short corn spread trade on. That's been a very popular trade over the past 12 months, so you're seeing some liquidation in that. You've got your December contracts expiring here tomorrow on December corn and December wheat. And I think what we're seeing here is the March contracts kind of rolling down to where the December contracts have been trading before this break. So, and then I understand that Tom Colburn and Dianne Feinstein was going to propose legislation to do away with the ethanol mandate.
Yes, so they called it the Eliminate Corn Ethanol Act.
That's
actually what they called it, so it's there.
That got into the corn market, but I think if anybody seriously thinks that we're going to do Congress can pass anything in Washington anytime soon, I think they're crazy or hoot owl. Now, I do believe that there is no doubt about it. Ethanol has plenty of its enemies out there, they're going to try to gang up on the ethanol industry. But I do believe we'll be able to at least fight that off and hang on to what we got. That was part of the negative, but I think a lot of it is just December, and markets do a lot of irrational things during the month of December because you have a lot of position squaring and new positioning for the new year all taking place in front of the holidays. Beans kind of look like they're probably set up to kind of have a hook reversal to the downside on beans this week. I'm not too worried about that because I still think the monthly reversal up during the month of November probably carries a little bit more weight on the technical front. Corn, I think corn's probably still going to close out the week a little higher coming off that weekly reversal that we had last week. So we'll see what kind of follow-through we get tomorrow. My guess is the market will probably firm up in overnight trade, and we may finish out the week on a firm note.
Yeah, so we will get the follow-through tomorrow. The December contracts will go off the board. Will that mean everybody sort of finishes evening up at this point, and then next week we can get back to trading value, I suppose?
I think this was the last day of the Goldman roll. I think you had people roll. I think a lot of your fund people were rolling out of the January contract into the March contract. So I think that's the end of a lot of fund rolling.
My guess is
next week we'll get back to a more stable situation, but it will be light volume. I think as each day gets closer to next weekend, the volume will slow down. So we'll be kind of in a holiday-type market. But, the trade, let's face it, they're just terribly bearish when you look at supply-demand tables and what kind of shape we could get ourselves into if we have favorable weather next year. If South America raises a good crop and then the U.S. comes back with a good crop, we could find ourselves with a lot of supply around. So that's what the trade seems to want to focus on today compared to 2-3 years ago. We were worried about not having enough acres to meet ethanol demand and all the other demand that goes along with it. So it's a complete reversal of what we were thinking, 2 to 3 years ago, Todd.
Right. So let me ask you another question, because there are times when producers look at the front-end months, and we all do, and say, well, this is a bad deal across the board, or it's a good deal across the board. But really, you have to separate things into the old and the new crop. So the question at this point is, because we have in particular for December corn a $4.61.5 trade for next year, the 2014 new crop, at $4.28.25 for this year, how much concern do you have for the drop in the December 2014 crop based on normal growing conditions? Do producers need to consider protecting themselves for that corn crop? And how much downside risk is there in old crop because the bin doors have been closed? And would that be in the basis rather than in the futures market?
Well, a lot of it will probably depend upon what USDA issues as the final report.
In January.
And that'll give us a glimpse of what our first quarter key disappearance is going at. There's a lot of discussion on what our disappearance actually is. And then, you know, I question whether or not USDA's got the acres right yet. I still think that there could be some downward adjustment in acres. Others kind of feel that there could be some upward adjustments in yield. But corn has lost half its value off of its all-time high of 8.5. We're back here in this 4.25 range, so we've lost half the value. And corn is kind of doing what it needs to do. I mean, we're looking at less acres next year, people switching from corn to soybeans. We're seeing export demand pick up. We're seeing the ethanol production go up full throttle. We're seeing a small pickup in livestock numbers. So corn is rebuilding the demand base it lost when we were at 8.5 or 7.5 the last 2 years. So corn is at least, I think, moving in the direction that maybe downside risk of new crop corn may not be that great. But everybody, if the crop is as big as what everybody wants to make it, and that's still doubtful, I think I want to see USDA's January number before I get super bearish. But farmers are holding the grain, and as we know, when farmers hold the grain, that hedge pressure hangs over the market. So until that hedge pressure is absorbed into the marketplace, that old crop inventory has downside risk because it hasn't entered the pipeline. And as farmers sell it, commercials will put that hedge pressure on, and that is what's going to push the market lower. Now, whereas soybeans, I think farmers have done a pretty good job at emptying their inventory of soybeans, so that hedge pressure really doesn't overhang, at least from the U.S. point of view. It does from South America point of view. But a lot of it depends upon when it all happens. Some kind of feel it could happen this winter. Others kind of feel that farmers may hang on to it all the way into next summer until they see what new crop is. But somewhere in here, we're going to have a flush out of old crop inventory unless there's a weather factor or some outside influence that comes along and absorbs the supply before it all comes to town. But there's a lot of inventory out there to move, and my guess is that maybe this $4 corn futures is going to be good support, and maybe what we'll see is basis now do the reverse of what it's been doing over the past couple of years, where we've had premium basis levels of upwards of 50, 60 cents above the board. We may go down underneath the futures market 50, 60 cents. So that would be my speculation at this point.
Well, I'm glad I'm in the middle of fundraising, Dan.
Well, the basis ain't there yet. Actually, the basis is still pretty strong.
Yeah, I know.
And I know farmers don't like this $4 corn. I know they don't like that. That isn't very attractive. But there is some risk there. And it's going to be hard. You can't protect yourself from basis risk. You can protect yourself from price risk, but if you go out and try to start buying some puts, you're quickly going to find out that they're very expensive, and I'm not too sure a put will work when you pay a lot of money for it, because I think the real risk could be more in the basis than probably on the board on corn. Actually, when you look at the corn-soybean ratio and the movement of more acres of soybeans, there might be more futures risk, price risk, in the soybean complex and probably in the corn complex.
Dan, thanks so much. Have a good weekend there in Texas.
Same to you, Todd.
Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Thursday afternoon.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business, so Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Okay, I want to raise $1,000 in this half hour. So I don't know how far along we are. Doesn't matter. All that really matters is that you help us out at 217-244-9455. Let's do it by phone at this point. Or if you're listening later in the evening, we're still probably looking for $1,000 in the next hour. So go ahead and
relax. I'm pretty sure we'll be looking for $1,000 whenever.
But then let's make it $2,000 in total that way, right? Les Schulte is here, and he's going to tell you a little bit more how to do this, but 217-244-9455, $100, $120 pledge is really great. Anything more is fantastic. $30, $40, $50, $60, $70, add to your pledge. Whatever you do, just call right now. Pledge your support at willag.org. We're looking to raise $36,000 in 36 hours, Les.
That's right. 36 hours of fundraising. We started this morning. We're doing great. We're over $10,000 raised so far today, and we want to thank each and every one of you who have taken the few minutes out of your day to make that call at 217-244-9455 or going online to willpledge.org. We want to thank Amy and Michael from Champaign who have recently made a pledge of support. Thank you very much. And as Todd said, if your investment in this station, it can be just $10 a month. Maybe that's a $120 a year contribution, if you think of it that way. That goes a long way to supporting a service that you use. You know, every day it seems like there are fewer and fewer places where you can get timely and dependable commodity market analysis. But that's not the case here at Will Ag, where over the last 2 years we have expanded that service because of your generosity. Listeners like you are our most dependable source of revenue and the lifeblood of our agricultural programming. You can keep this service going strong by making your pledge now at 217-244-9455. Your contribution does make a difference. Call right now, 217-244-9455.
Hey, thanks so much, Les Schulte, helping us out here this afternoon. We hope that you call in at 217-244-9455. I'd like to make, a couple grand. That would be really nice if you could help me out. 217-244-9455. And at $120, that means I got to have 20 of you call, right? So don't wait. Don't wait. Do it right now. On the phone line, speaking of calls and waiting patiently for us, is Matt Bennett. He's at TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Matt. Hey, I got a question for you, because earlier in this program, Dan Zwicker told us that all the bad things might happen in the basis for corn in January, February, March. What's your opinion there?
Well, I don't think he's too far off. I mean, I think the main thing I would caution guys on is that most of the companies looking to buy this crop are eagerly anticipating the fact that it's going to have to come to town. And so, by all means, when the dam breaks, it's going to break pretty good, I think. And so, you know, whenever guys are needing money, I think basis is probably going to fall apart somewhat because there is an awfully big crop to come to town.
Yeah, so the question is, if the basis falls apart, will we have a higher level, and what's the total addition? Are we at a higher total price than we are now, given basis, or do you think we ought to be bellying up and making sales for corn and beans?
Well, that's a great question. I think, in my opinion, we need to be getting to a comfortable level on our sales. I wouldn't want to have too many eggs right in one basket, and if I'm not doing as much on sales, I definitely want to be doing something on risk management because, I guess, to answer your question and not dance around it too much, I think we're going to be lower here in another 40 days to 50 days. And I think whenever you look at the way that this basis could act, you know, you put futures with it, it might be kind of a tough row to hoe to think that we're going to have a little bit better cash price in the future as far as corn goes.
Matt, thanks so much.
Hey, thanks, Don.
Matt Bennett is with TGM. He's in Windsor, Illinois, and joins us here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business. So Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise. Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Hey, have you dialed in yet at 217-244-9455? I hope so, but if not, or if you haven't gone online at willag.org, now's a great time to do it because we're looking to raise $36,000 over a 36-hour period, 12 hours on Thursday today, 12 hours Friday, and 12 hours Saturday. But now is the best hour. Now, right now is the best hour. Whatever time you're listening to us, whether that's 2 a.m. in the morning or 2 in the afternoon, to dial in or to make a pledge online at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org. Make sure that you tell them or write into the subject line that you are pledging in support of agricultural programming. Dave Dickey and I like the $120 level. By the way, thank you. Thank you for pledging your financial support, whatever amount it happens to be in. It really doesn't matter what the amount is, just that you pledge. It's gratifying for us. We hope that the service to you is important. We think it is. If it is, dial in right now.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business. So Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Wednesday afternoon. On the phone line, Mike Tenor at T-Storm Weather in Chicago to take a look at the forecast. Mike, thanks for being with us. Let's start here in the Midwest, where it's been cold, and I suppose it's going to remain that way.
It does look like it will stay cold for a while. Now, we do have a bit of a change occurring in the pattern, though, so there will be some fluctuations in temperatures over the next 7 days. But the main point is that it will be colder than usual across the northern plains and the northeast half of the Corn Belt over the next week. That does include most of Illinois, so we don't look for a very significant warm-up anytime soon. But we will see temperatures occasionally reach the mid-20s to mid-30s for high temperatures. So it's not going to be intensely cold like we've had over the last several days. So that will be nice to see a little bit of a warmer pattern. With that warmer pattern, we do have a couple of chances for snow, the main one being tomorrow night and into Saturday from Missouri through central Illinois and then on into parts of Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan. We should see a swath of 3 to 5 inches of snow across parts of the state, most likely setting up right around the Springfield through Champaign and Kankakee area, somewhere in that region. Not a huge snowstorm by any means, and after that we don't look for a whole lot in the way of rain or snow for the following 5 to 7 days, just little tiny systems once in a while, mainly impacting the northern part of Illinois. Once we get into later next week, sometime around the 20th of December, around next Friday, things turn a little bit more interesting. We're seeing a lot of hints of a bigger storm somewhere in the central U.S. Real hard to say who will be affected by that or exactly how it will all unfold, but we are watching a larger storm that's developing potentially in about 7 or 8 days from now.
And check in on the growing regions of the world that are now in the middle of their season, please. Start with South America.
Well, the big story in South America is that we have a fairly intense early season heat wave that is developing across Argentina. We'll see high temperatures well into the 90s and 100s across the key corn and soybean region beginning Saturday and then continuing right on through Tuesday. There's not a whole lot of rain on the horizon either for Argentina, southern Brazil, or Paraguay. These are some issues that we will be watching. Concern would be a little bit higher if it hadn't rained significantly across much of this region within the last 1 to 2 weeks, and if there weren't an end to the heat wave coming, at least temporarily, around Wednesday and Thursday of next week. If we were to see the dry pattern last for, say, 10 more days, and also see heat recur around 7 to 10 days from now, we would start to be a little bit concerned that it will be turning too hot and too dry for the corn and soybean crops in that region. Now, all of that being said, they're still planting in Argentina with about half of the corn and soybeans currently planted. So you could argue that the dry and hot weather is somewhat beneficial in that it can allow planting to catch up because we are far behind with corn planting. Normally around 75 to 80% should be planted right now as opposed to 50. So you could argue that the heat wave and the dryness initially is a good thing, but dryness and heat generally don't stay good for too long, so that'll be something to watch. But right now, it's just something we're monitoring, We're not too excited about it quite yet.
That is Mike Tenora of T-Storm Weather.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib.